It's good to see everyone back tonight. Appreciate you being with us, and we're going to continue in the lesson we had this morning. If you're not with us this morning, we started talking about modesty, and this morning we basically defined what that was, looked at Scripture to see what the Bible's examples of modesty would be. Tonight we want to continue with the thought of the answer of why, because that's what most, especially as young people, we ask the question, why? As parents, how many times did you have to answer that question? How many times did it get asked of you? There's no telling how many times you had, but why, asked to you. And so let's answer the why. And I think this is the biggest why that I can show you. Our world, our society, has a problem with lust. Yep, we're going to talk about lust for a minute. So some of you younger ones might want to hold your ears. But it is an issue. It is something that's in the Bible talked about and we need to deal with. We have an obviously addiction to it. We even have it if you, of course, parents, I hope you pay attention to the video games and things that your children play. No matter what kind of console you're using, it is amazing to me how the sexuality has put into it with the characters, both male and female. If you don't think our society has a problem with lust, we really need to talk, because you're not paying attention at all, both what's going on out in the world, what's on television, radio, in any direction that you go. We as Christians can't accept the argument that our world, or cannot accept that our world has become so corrupt that no one notices immodest clothing anymore. I really wonder if people do. Advertising, the concept of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, all from Scripture. That is our society. I just showed you video games. They do it in advertisements. And as I was looking at some of the advertisements, there was some of them, there's no way I would have put up here on the screen. And yet that's what shows up on our televisions. The entertainment society today, to me, has gotten completely out of control with, again, I couldn't put a lot of the pictures up of the dresses that ladies wear to a lot of these award shows, the way that some of the men are garbed or not garbed into their concerts and things of that nature. And it's all become very acceptable and just normal. But as Christians, we cannot accept what the world is trying to tell us. If you look in 1 John 2:15-17, it reads, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." Here in this scripture, we have basically the three types of temptations that Satan uses. The desires of the flesh, looking at the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can label almost any, well, pretty much every sin under one of these three headings. Whether it be our pride, whether it be the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, it really does not matter. But the problem is, it's the eyes and the flesh that we're talking about. In our society today, kids can make fun of me, but when I was in middle school, only a few people had a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And I remember going up and elbowing a guy one time and said, "I dare you to hold her hand." I wish that was the only problem that I had to deal with in middle school today. The knowledge that our young people have out in the world is far beyond what even adults should probably know when it comes to sexuality. And it's scary. And what makes it so scary is if our parents aren't teaching our young people the scriptural side of it, then all they're getting is the world side. And that's exactly what Satan wants. The reason, one of the biggest, well, the biggest reason for this lesson, I didn't bring it up this morning, I'm saving it for our old faithful right here. I had a family come and visit one time, a couple with two children and their mother came to visit. I may get in trouble for this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. They sent a letter to us, to the elders actually, said they enjoyed the service, people were friendly, they had a sound Christian sermon, came from a visitor because I wasn't preaching at the time, I had just had the surgery. And they said, but, and it's just like in Revelation to the seven churches of Asia, This was great, but they were shocked at the apparel of some of our younger women. And that couple has not been back. Now, brothers and sisters, when we're talking about influence and impact, that is not what we as Christians should want. That's that slap in the face of, oh, you mean you're a Christian? We have to understand that everything we do, say, and wear, people are looking. They're watching. And whether we're an adult or whether we're a teenager or even as a child, somebody is watching you for the influence that you're going to have on them, whether it be good or bad. I'll be the first to admit I've been a bad influence through my life by major mistakes I've made, bad comments I've made, or maybe just by not doing what I should have done. We can be a bad influence in a lot of ways, but when it comes to stating who we are as Christians, did you listen to the songs that we just sang? Oh, how I love Jesus, do we? Are we willing to sacrifice being according to what modern society says is okay and be a Christian man or woman by what we wear? We will glorify Him. Are we? By how we act, what we say, and by what we wear. Are we glorifying Jesus? Those are the things that we need to be careful with. We already talked about the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, but you see, even the third temptation is a part of this, a pride of life. The arrogance, the pride of wanting to flaunt or show off who we are or what we have. But brothers and sisters, as Christians, that can't be our way. Look in 1 Peter 4, 2 and 3. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality and lust and drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Look at the list there, the sensuality and the lust. We as Christians can't be involved with that, and we definitely can't be the ones leading it by the way we dress. If you also look with me in Colossians 3, verse 5, put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature, sexuality or sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Look at that, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires all fall under what we're talking about. And I'm going to get in trouble here, too, but here we go. There's a big push now that it shouldn't matter what a woman wears, that a man shouldn't lust. You know, if this was a perfect world, that would be what would be happening. But it's not. And you stop and look at how many young women have been attacked, kidnapped, and raped. I know I just said that word. And in every occasion, look at what they're wearing. And you say, well, that's wrong that it's that way, Greg. I agree, it is wrong. It shouldn't be that way. But truth and reality is it. As a teacher, you know the number one thing I have to deal with my young men? And I don't, well, two issues. One, their problem is today they all want to show their underwear with the pants too low. And I get to hear the girls giggle and talk about it. But you know the number one issue I have to straighten young men out on? Leggings. Yep, I just got in trouble again. If you heard what the young men say when young women are wearing leggings that do not cover them appropriately, it would boggle your mind. The things they say I cannot and will not just repeat from this pulpit, but I won't even tell you privately. And here I am trying to make them understand that that's not appropriate things to say, but the thoughts have already gone through their mind. The words have already come out of their mouth about that young lady. Just like the same thing about the young men. And when I try to tell the young men, and I can't talk to the young ladies about things like this anymore because I'm male. But I try to talk to the young men about, you know, the reason you need to keep your pants, they think it's awesome that people are looking at them and talking about them. That's what our society is teaching our young people today. And it's sad and it shouldn't be. And we as Christians can't be among those. And if I heard a young man make comments about some of our young ladies like I've heard, remember, I teach 12 to 14-year-olds. I'm not talking about 20-year-olds. I don't know how I could react if I heard them say those things about our young ladies. And parents, you should not want anybody looking at your child in the way and manner that society now allows and thinks is perfectly fine. Let me tell you, young men and young women, you're worth more than that. Value yourself more than that. Why? Because Christ died for you. That makes you more valuable than anything on the face of this earth. Continuing on looking at Scripture. In Proverbs 6:25, lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. I love that one. Oh, how fast can you fall at the twinkle of a girl's eyes when she looks at you just right? I did. It got me married. She twinkled those little blue eyes at me. I didn't even know her name. But I tell you what, I fanned it out as soon as I could. Our society today has replaced love with lust. And they don't know the difference. And I'll tell you the difference, young people, old people. Lust is when your desire is completely for them physically. The problem with lust is it's great for a while. You think you're in love and you date and you get married and you think, wow, this is awesome. But after a while, the problem with lust is it moves on. And all of a sudden, you're no longer lusting after the one that you're married to. You're lusting at one over here. Whereas love desires the person. They desire the heart of that person, the mind of that person, the good and the bad of that person. And that way, see, lust never has to interfere. It never takes you away from the relationship that you and your spouse can have. Whereas lust can destroy a relationship in a heartbeat. And you wonder why 50% of our marriages are failing. There's why. They fell in lust, not in love. You talk to some of these couples around here, and I don't even mean us old ones. Those younger than me. Ask them, has your marriage always been a piece of cake? And if any of them tell you yes, come back to me. I'll have a talk to them about lying. That's another sermon. Satan in life is never going to make your life a piece of cake. God's going to give you a lot of roses, but Satan's going to throw in the thorns. Love will get through that together. Lust will not. Continuing on in 2 Timothy 2:22. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Well, that wasn't my song, but okay. We as Christians flee youthful lust. It's not just for the young people. That means us too. Have you ever met grown men or grown women that were still living in a youthful life, thinking and acting and behaving in a youthful manner? And sometimes you're going to say, can you just grow up? And yet our society encourages this. God says, don't let this happen to you. Flee it. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call upon the Lord. I remember a preacher one time saying, telling his son, he said, I want you to keep this in your car. Now back then, you know, all the Bibles were at least this big. And of course, back then, we didn't have the armrest in there. We had a bench seat, so she could slide all the way over, you know, like a good old truck. And then you only had to drive with your left hand because you had your right hand around your girl. Right? Uh-huh. He gave him the Bible. He said, I want you to keep this in the middle of your bench seat. He said, what for? He said, because by the time she climbs over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, she's going to be too tired to do anything else. But really what it was for is to remind him who he was and who she was. Kind of hard to let those thoughts get out of control when sitting right between you is God's word. If that's what you have to do, do so. But if we're going to be Christians, brothers and sisters, we've got to fight the world. Continuing on, look in Galatians 5:19-20. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care what the entertainment world, the movie world, or anybody else is telling you. God says fornication, which is sexual activity outside the marriage or before the marriage, is a sin, and it can lose you your soul. and I'm not going to lie, it's a hard fight. One of the first trips that I think may have been the very first trip that we went on as a big group, we had about 15, 20 people go to Honduras. And on our way home, in the old thing, it had old airport, it had a McDonald's. Well, after a week of eating stuff you didn't know what it was, McDonald's looked real good. So we get in line at McDonald's, and we hear a kind of a ruckus from a person right behind us. And I saw they were getting this lady's autograph. And so I asked one of them, I said, what's that's Miss Honduras. So David Miller, big David Miller that used to go here, we turned around. We thought, well, we're going to meet Miss Honduras. We turned around for about a half a second, saw what she was wearing, and started reading the menu to each other. What she was wearing in public was so inappropriate that there was no way you could stand there and look at her and not allow inappropriate thoughts in your mind. You have to put effort into being the person God wants you to be. Because Satan's looking for ways to the works of the flesh that God warns us about. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything we do should be glorifying God. So ask yourself when you're looking at those bathing suits or those, us old people call them Daisy Dukes. Young people probably have absolutely no idea what that is. That's those short shorts that she didn't need to be wearing in the 70s and we don't need to be wearing today. As Christians, we have to have a higher standard. Continue on in 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21. We are therefore ambassadors on behalf of Christ. What's that mean? We are representatives of Christ and God. Christ left and He put us in charge of representing His Father on this earth. Whew, that's a heavy burden, isn't it? I remember when I was little, I had a Smokey the Bear. Now, I don't know if y'all know about Smokey the Bear, but Smokey the Bear is always the one that says, you know, you can prevent wildfires. Now, this was old bear. It was the kind you had to pull the little string on it. You know, like Toy Story. They really had those. In mine, you pulled the little string on it, and Smokey said, only you can prevent forest fires. Now, that's a heavy burden to put on a five-year-old. But what I grew up to understand was if we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing, we can prevent forest fires. If we're all behaving as Christians the way we should, we can withstand the fires that Satan's going to put in front of us. Only you can protect yourself from lust and from these behaviors. Continuing on, as though God were entreating by us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. From Him who knew no sin, He made it to be sin in our behalf, so that in Him we might become righteousness of God. We are the ambassadors of the man who died for us. We owe Him something. And it starts with how we look. What are we showing God as His representative? And is He proud? Then in John 4:23 and 24, but the hour comes and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks to be such to be His worshipers. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Truth is what we live. It's God's word. That's what we should live our life by. And there's things in here that aren't that easy. They're difficult. But let me tell you what's happened so many times in our world. People see the things that people are wearing or the lack of it. It leads them to activities that Christians shouldn't be involved in. That leads them then to what we can have such easy access today as a pornography. Our cell phones today gives us access to things that we do not need to see. Social media is so dangerous, parents, if you're not paying attention to what's out there. Our computers can take us places that no Christian needs to ever go. The other night, we were flicking through channels looking at movies, and Jenny said, oh, that one sounds good. You know how they have the little description under the picture? And Jacob's always the one that does this for me. It has 121 F-words. Okay, we're not watching that one. We have to make decisions like that as Christians all the time. I've clicked on it, and there's a movie, and it pops up, and it says nudity. Well, okay, we're not watching that one. We have to make conscious efforts not to put ourselves in positions where Satan can control our lives. And yes, the way we dress is one. And finally, I'm going to close with this. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren. Here we go. I love that translation, the beseeching, which means I'm begging you. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's begging, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. You know why he words it that way? Christ was the sacrifice. He died for us. The deal is, he died for us. We're supposed to live for him. And brothers and sisters, sometimes the truth hurts. But we need to consider who we are, what we're doing, and why. Why do I want to wear that? Makes me look good. Is that really what our focus needs to be? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, well, never look good again. Mismatch everything, look terrible. Melissa can't stand it where people wear black and brown together and Matt does it all the time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our actions should not be led by selfish, arrogant reasons. We should be humble in service to God. And although that outfit may be really cool and maybe your favorite pop star or whatever wore it to something, the odds are that probably means you don't need to wear it, because that's not who you need to represent. And so I'm begging you tonight to start thinking about who you are. I'm not going to lie. I'm as human as all of you. I have my own fights that I have to fight. I'm old now. I don't even wear shorts anymore. My legs look that bad. I hadn't seen sun in years. Got scars all over them. Nobody wants to see that. So it's a little easier for us older folks. We try and not cover up. But when you're young, you don't think about it. I'm hoping by the young or old, I hope instead of stabbing your heart, I hope I pricked it to make you think. There's so many ways that you still can be a beautiful woman, an outstanding, handsome man, without flaunting the things that nobody has a right to see. We as Christians need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is our reasonable service. Some translations say our reasonable form of worship. But either way you look at it, it's not terrible. I know sometimes it means you've got to try harder, especially you ladies. I know trying to keep modest clothing, it's a nightmare. But the key is to keep trying. And make sure that a young man or you young gentleman, make sure that the woman that falls for you is a good Christian woman who's going to love you for the rest of your life. Because that's what God's plan is. Tonight, if you're not yet a Christian, once again, this sermon was not aimed at obeying the gospel. It was aimed at Christians. But if you're not a Christian, I hope you see that we have to be different, that there is something special about us. The Bible calls us a peculiar people. I love that. Nobody likes to be called peculiar. I love that. Why? Because it says we're different. It's not that we're better. I'm not better than anybody. The only difference between me and the people out there in the world is I've gotten Christ's blood to forgive me of my sins, and they haven't yet. But I'm a sinner, they're a sinner, we're all sinners. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. We're not better, but we have to be different. If you're ready to be a part of that family, we're here for you. Come forward, repent of your sins, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and begin living that life. The repentance means I'm going to change my life. I'm going to be different. Christ-like, then come forward. We're here for you. If you are a Christian, as many have put on their list that need prayers, maybe tonight you need prayers. If we can serve you, will you come while we stand and sing?